Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am going to begin a brand new series, and it's entitled A Better Way to Pray. And I tell you, this is going to be a blessing to you. It's going to terrify some of you. I've had some of my very good friends just be so totally shocked by this that they actually got up and left the service where I was teaching on this. And eventually they got over it. But I mean, this is going to be a shock to your system. And I want to emphasize a couple of things before I get right into this teaching. And one of the very first points that I want to make is that the very title that I've given this series, entitled A Better Way to Pray, I think really needs to be emphasized. I didn't name this the only way to pray, or you're of the devil if you don't pray this way, or God doesn't love you if you pray any other way. I entitled it A Better Way to Pray because that's what I really believe that this teaching is all about. And I want to make it very clear that everything I will be countering and some of the attitudes that are so prevalent in the church today that I think are doing a lot of damage in this area of prayer, I've done every one of these things that I'll be praying, teaching against. And you know what? During that period of time, I loved God and God loved me and God wasn't mad at me and I got some prayers answered. And I really attribute that to the fact that God is such a gracious, loving God that He really sees our heart. And because of that, God, in a sense, translates or interprets our prayers based on what He knows we're meaning in our heart. And if it wasn't for that, I believe that many of us, the way that we have been taught to pray, the traditional, popular way that is being taught about prayer today, if it wasn't for the graciousness and the mercy of God and Him looking at our heart, I believe that most of us would be a pile of ashes. We are doing some things seriously wrong that if we were living under the old covenant, man, it would have incurred the wrath of God. And so I say all of these things to begin by saying that, you know what? I know that what I'm going to be saying during this series is going to counter a lot of people's theology about prayer. And if you take my things that I'm saying as criticisms and saying that you're of the devil or that God doesn't love you, well, many of you are going to reject the things that I've got to say before I get very far into this. And so I'm just wanting to put this disclaimer on it. I'm not saying that this is the only way to pray or that you're of the devil if you don't pray this way. But based on my own experience as well as my study of the Word of God, I have found a better way to pray. I am getting better results. Again, God used to love me and I loved God and I got some results when I used to pray the typical way that is being taught today. And I can't say that it was, you know, totally wrong or of the devil, but there was a lot of wrong attitudes in it. And since I've learned these truths and since I've applied it to my prayer life, I have found a better way to pray. I'm getting better results than I ever have. I also want to put this disclaimer on it and say that, you know what, I don't claim that I've got the full revelation on prayer. I'm not saying that I am the plumb line and that everybody has to revolve around me. I'm still learning. And you know what, in the future, I may find out that there's still a better way to pray than what I'm sharing right here. And so I'm saying all of these things just to kind of soften some of the things that I'm going to say, because I am going to counter, I believe, probably some of the most foundational, entrenched things that are commonly taught in the Christian realm today. And I am going to be countering so many things that if I didn't say these things right up front, some of you might think that I was actually against prayer. And that's certainly not what I'm doing. But I am going to say this, that I think that the way people are praying today and the attitudes that they are praying with are some of the worst attitudes in the body of Christ. I believe that there are some serious, serious mistakes being made in this area of prayer, and I'm going to be explaining this, and I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. Here in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples." As we start talking about prayer, I'm going to follow the example of Jesus when Jesus was teaching on prayer. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And the very first thing that Jesus did as he taught about prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 here, this is a part of what we typically call the Sermon on the Mount. And he was just teaching on a number of different things. And he began to teach on the subject of prayer. Over in Luke chapter 11, and we will be using those verses also, it also uses this exact same teaching. It uses these same truths and what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And yet over in Luke's account of this, Luke chapter 11, it says that this was in response to his disciples saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so he taught what was typically called the Lord's Prayer. So anyway, these verses are Jesus teaching on prayer. And he says some radical, radical things. And let me just point this out, that before Jesus taught what prayer was, if you go down to Matthew chapter 6, and beginning with verse 9 is where we get this account of what is typically called the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," etc. And so that's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. But in verse 5, Jesus started talking about prayer. And the very first thing that Jesus did was to teach what prayer is not and counter some of the wrong attitudes and wrong things about prayer. And so that's the way that Jesus approached this subject. He first of all talked about what prayer was not, and after he had countered misconceptions, then he began to teach about what prayer was. And so I'm going to follow this same model, and the very first thing that I'm going to do as we start talking about a better way to pray is to start talking about some of the misconceptions and wrong teachings about prayer. And I'm going to spend at least a couple of weeks just dealing with some of the abuses of prayer. And some people may disagree with this approach, but again, this is exactly the way that Jesus did it. And I really believe that it's necessary because it's, again, like building a house or something. If your foundation, if some of the very basic things, the things that's going to hold everything else in this building up, if the foundation isn't square or plumb, if it's lopsided or if it's got cracks in it, well, then whatever you build upon that foundation isn't going to have any more strength and stability than the foundation has. And so we've got to make sure that the foundation of our attitudes about prayer are accurate. And I'm just here to tell you right up front that I believe that prayer is probably one of the most unscriptural and unbiblical things going on in the body of Christ today, the way that it is done. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And this is exactly the approach that Jesus took as he began to start dealing with prayer. Look at some of his comments here in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. It says, "And when thou prayest," this is Jesus speaking, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray." And I'm just going to stop right there. And we're going to go on and we're going to talk about some of these specifics. But man, what a bomb this is. This is just like dropping an absolute bomb that just devastates a number of things. The very introduction Jesus gave to this. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are, for they, hypocrites, love to pray. What a radical, radical statement. Hypocrites love to pray. They don't just pray. They just don't pray every once in a while. They love to pray. And let me just be straight up with you and tell you that in our church religious system today, hypocrites love to pray. Just because a person loves prayer doesn't mean that they are in right standing with God. It doesn't mean that they're praying the proper way. Now, I would also go as far as to say that people who truly love God also love to pray. But you know what? You can pray with totally the wrong motivation. You can pray not really to God, but you can pray to men. I've certainly heard this, and I bet you that every one of you watching this program have heard somebody get up in church and they start praying one of these prayers where they pray in old English, King James English, "My God, thou... you know, we worship you," and they use all of this English and they change their voice and they go into this thing and they aren't anymore praying to God. They're praying for the sake of the people around them so that they can sound good. I'm telling you that there is a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in prayer. And a lot of that comes from the way that it's been taught and some of these misconceptions. But what a radical start to this. Man, I really love Jesus for what he did to me, but I love the way that he ministered to people. I mean, Jesus would just tell a person the truth. He would be brutally honest with the person, and yet it was done completely in love. It wasn't done to hurt people, but Jesus, when he starts talking about prayer, again, over in Luke chapter 11, his disciples said, "Teach us to pray," and he starts off by saying, "Hypocrites love to pray." I'm sure that that just shocked his disciples. Like, well, no, most people would believe that anybody who prays, man, that is a godly thing. You can't get too much prayer. Prayer is just an awesome, wonderful thing. First of all, you need to recognize that hypocrites love to pray. Jesus speaking says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray." So Jesus, the very first thing that he said about prayer was, he says, beware that you aren't like a hypocrite when you pray, because hypocrites love to pray. And I'm telling you, this needs to be shouted from the rooftops. There's a lot of people today that are bragging about their prayer, talking about how long they pray. And they are using prayer as nothing but a way of soliciting a little pat on the back and receiving acclaim and recognition and all of these kind of things. And so I believe that one thing that we could say here at the very beginning is that if your prayer isn't sincere, if it isn't pure, if you are praying for all of the hypocritical reasons that are so prevalent in the church today, then your prayer is profiting you nothing. And boy, I believe that that needs to be made super clear. There's a lot of people that honestly just believe that you can't go wrong praying. As long as you're praying, then you can't go wrong. Maybe there's some prayer that's more effective than others, but all prayer is good. That is not so. You know what? There are people in other religions that pray to their quote-unquote God, and I am not one of these politically correct persons that believes that just as long as you pray, as long as you believe in some supreme being, some higher power, that everything is okay. Nope, that's not true. John 14:6 says that Jesus was speaking, and he said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." It isn't true that you can just pray to whatever. You can have whatever. I remember when I was in Vietnam that one of the sergeants there had a rock that he wrote the name God on, and he put that up above his bunk, and he worshiped this rock. And you know what? Some people would say, "Well, it's just as long as you believe in something." No, that's wrong. And you know what? He finally got to where he offended so many people that his guy that roomed with him in that bunker took this rock and threw it off of this mountain. And I mean, it was a steep mountain. That rock was gone. No retrieving it. And this guy got so mad, he threatened to kill him. And right before he pulled the trigger on this Uzi that he had at this guy, he says, "Why are you going to do this?" And he says, "You threw my God away." And the guy said, "Wasn't much of a God, was it?" And I love that. You know what? Some people just think as long as you pray, as long as you believe in some higher power, they look at the benefits of, you know, faith, how it calms you. And there's a lot of this weirdness going on in our society today. And I'm telling you, it's wrong, 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 wrong. If you are praying to Buddha, if you are praying to, you know, I don't know what all the religions are, but if you are praying to these other people, they are dead and gone. Muhammad is dead and his grave still exists. Buddha is dead. All of these other founders of religions are dead and gone. Our founder of Christianity is alive and well. He is the only true God. And if you are praying, just, you know, thinking that prayer in itself is wonderful, well, then you're missing it. I'm telling you, all prayer is not good. There is a right and a wrong way to pray, and hypocrites, other religions, love to pray. And it might lower your blood pressure in the sense that instead of getting mad and doing something, you're sitting there in a lotus position going ohm or something like that, and that might help you to some degree in some ways, but I guarantee you it is not going to connect you with God. Instead, it is going to connect you with demonic powers. There is more in the spiritual realm than just God. There are also demons. There are terrible things going on, and there is a right and a wrong way to pray. And if you don't understand that, and if you just think, oh, but it doesn't matter, just as long as I'm praying and however I want to do it, well, then you are sadly mistaken, and you are opening yourself up to serious problems. You know, I'm not saying this based on just some theory someplace. I'm telling you, I've lived this. And again, I've entitled this teaching, A Better Way to Pray. I've learned some things along the way, but did you know I've prayed wrong, and I've prayed in ways that actually released the power of the devil in my life. And I know some of you think, oh, that's not so. The devil couldn't take advantage of you while you're praying. Let me just give you a little testimony. That, you know, there was this girl. This girl was actually my wife's best friend. And at one time, I was dating this girl. And, you know, we had never formally proposed or anything like that. But this girl got sick and died, and I was sent home on an emergency leave from Vietnam because her parents told the Red Cross that we were engaged. It wasn't official, but anyway, that's how they got us home, and we had thought about things like this. But the way all this got started was that I actually went to a Bible conference down in Milldale, Louisiana, and I heard a man teach, and I'm not going to tell you his name, but he preached a message entitled, Satan is God's Messenger Boy. And the thrust of the teaching was that God is the one that puts sickness and disease on you to teach you something, to humble you, to make you a better person. God's the one that causes children to be born deformed. God is sovereign. God does everything. He controls everything. That was the teaching. And as an illustration, in this teaching, this man told about a boy who was so introverted that he was unable to witness the way that he should. And so he just prayed and he says, Lord, I want to be a witness to my football teammates, whatever it takes. If you have to put some incurable disease on me so that I could show them how a Christian faces death, then I pray that you would strike me with the cancer or with something so that I could glorify you. The next day, that boy came down with leukemia. And he dealt with it. He praised God through the process. At his funeral, four of his football buddies got born again because of the witness that he had given. And anyway, that was the teaching that I heard. I bought those tapes. These were reel-to-reel tapes. I brought those home. I gave them to this girl. And I said, man, this was great. You need to listen to this. Did you know she listened to that teaching? She prayed that exact prayer and says, God, if you have to give me cancer or something like you did this boy, then I'll receive it. The next day, she passed out, was rushed to the hospital, and she had leukemia. And you know what? We tried to believe God for healing. We were going to use it as a testimony. But anyway, she died. I was with her when she died. She strangled on her own blood. She hemorrhaged. We believed God for over 2 hours for her to be raised from the dead. Eventually, at her funeral, you know what? We just glorified God, and we were saying it was God that took her, that this was God's will, which was wrong. I've since come to realize that that was wrong. But you know what? Four people got saved at that funeral. And here's my point in relating this old story. You know what? The way we were praying an unscriptural prayer. We didn't know the truth that God is not the one who puts sickness and disease on us. We were under religious bondage, and we prayed a prayer that I can guarantee you God didn't answer. God did not give that girl leukemia. God did not kill that girl. Now, God got some glory out of it because she still loved him and she praised God. And she stood up one time in front of over 4,000 people at one time and talked about how that even though she had this leukemia, that she still loved God and all of these things. And there were people that were born again. But God used it. God will use anything. If we love him and if we give a witness, God will use that regardless of whether we're right or wrong in some of our assumptions. But you know what? God didn't give her this disease. God did not kill her. It's actually schizophrenic on one hand to pray that God give you cancer, and then when you get it, pray that God heals you of it so that He can get glory out of it. Man, that's crazy. And yet, that's what religion will do to you. And you know what? I'm saying these things that I have learned firsthand, that prayer is a powerful force. But it's like a gun, or it's like an explosive, or it's like anything. There is a right and a wrong way to handle it. And if you just give a kid, you know, a stick of dynamite and say, well, you know, it's just powerful, and you think that it'll only work for good. Well, that stick of dynamite can accomplish good, but it can also accomplish bad. Prayer is powerful, and it can accomplish a lot of good if it's done correctly. But done incorrectly, prayer can kill you. You can pray wrong prayers that open yourself up and that are doing things that Satan will answer your prayers. So I'm saying that, you know what? There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And I really believe that many of us are praying in ways that is causing damage. That's my own personal testimony. I saw a girl killed because of wrong teaching, which I wasn't the author of that teaching, but nonetheless, I fell for it. I passed the teaching along, and I really believe that that is how Satan gained this inroad and was able to kill this girl, a 16, 17-year-old girl. And you know what? That's just not God's will. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And Jesus, as He started teaching on prayer, the very first point He made is that, you know what? Prayer in itself isn't just therapeutic and all good. There is right and wrong praying, and hypocrites love to pray. Prayer serves the purposes of hypocrites very well. And I don't believe any of us want to be hypocrites. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And there is a better way to pray than what I believe most people are praying today. And I tell you, as we go through this series, I'm going to be saying some things that is going to probably counter every single person who is watching this program or listening to it around the world. I am going to say something that is going to probably challenge some of your belief systems about prayer. But that doesn't mean that what I'm saying is wrong. You know what? We aren't getting the results that we want. I believe every one of us would like better results. If the results aren't any better than what they are, why do we hang on to these things that aren't working so much? I encourage you to just put everything on the table, open your heart, and let God begin to speak to you. And if you'll do that, I believe that this is going to transform your relationship with God.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The first audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY21 titled Hypocrites Love to Pray when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there, just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance this week, January 28th through the 30th. In Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar next week, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Caris Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Caris Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Caris Bible College Campus Days.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
There is good and there is bad praying. There is right and wrong praying. And I believe that the whole body of Christ needs a tune-up in this area, and we need to recognize some major, major mistakes being made in this area of prayer. But the majority of Christians who are praying are at least somewhat frustrated in their prayers. They know that there has to be better results than what they're getting. And so here's my point. If you're frustrated and if you aren't seeing your prayers answered, then why is it that we fight so hard to hold on to these concepts that we have about prayer if they aren't working? If what you're doing isn't working, why is it that you are so adamant about holding on to the concepts that aren't working for you? I'm just asking you to open up your heart just a little bit, to consider that maybe there's a better way to pray, to consider that maybe some of the foundational things that you've been believing about prayer are wrong, and just open up the door just a crack so that if there is something wrong, that we could make a scriptural adjustment here and that it could help us in our prayer life.